Wednesday, April 1st, 2020. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope that your week is going well. I hope that you and your family and your friends are staying healthy. We are happy to have you here with us today. Look, I know that today is April 1st. I get it. It's April Fool's Day. But can I just say this right now? I want to get this on the record right now. With all of the things that are being canceled right now, you think about it. The NBA is now canceled. The NHL is canceled. Major League Baseball's opening day was canceled. March Madness was canceled. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. April Fool's Day is also canceled this year. Hey, I don't want to hear about any of those people who think they are so side-splittingly hilarious that they told someone they had like the virus for April Fools. Ha ha, that's hilarious. Don't be doing some sneezing on people pranks or like calling your parents and acting like you've been exposed and you're not sure what to do and trying to get them to panic. If in fact you do those things today on April Fool's Day, we should all be allowed to spit into your mouth and test your immune system. I know I don't have to tell my listeners this because my listeners are not that stupid. I have smart listeners here at The Dose, but so help me. If I have to hear about anyone else out there doing those stupid things and thinking they're so funny with their dumb little pranks, I'm telling you right now, public flogging and shaming should be brought back instantly if we hear 1 ounce of that stuff. Got a question for you though. How's your little quarantine going? Mine's actually going pretty well. I think I actually finished Netflix last week. I'm not sure I have anything left to watch on there. Are you working out? Are you eating healthy? Are you going outside and getting your 5 minutes of sunshine before, you know, retreating back into your dark little cave like a cockroach? Here in Denver, we are in like full lockdown mode. They say you're not allowed to go out unless you are deemed essential personnel. Like you're not supposed to be just going somewhere just for giggles. But like, you can go to the store if you need to go to the store. You could go to like the doctor. You can go to things that are essential, but that's it. Other than that, you're supposed to be staying at home. Now you can go for like walks where you're not, you know, interacting with other people. But other than that, you're not really supposed to be doing anything. Are you keeping up with those things where you're at? Are you social distancing the way they're all saying to do it? Are you keeping that safe, what is it, 6 foot distance from every stranger that you see? Are you like, I don't know, Colin Kaepernick and the NFL, just kind of staying away from each other? Are you like Andy Reid and, I don't know, maybe fitness? Are you like Antonio Brown and perhaps sanity? I hope that wherever you are, wherever it is that you're listening to The Daily Dose, I hope that you're staying healthy, you're staying safe, and that you're also able to take care of your loved ones effectively right now. Hey, it's tough right now. We are fighting not one, but kind of two pandemics right now. It's really, really weird. We are fighting this weird virus, but we are also fighting human stupidity each and every day right now. And I'm telling you right now, I'm starting to think the stupidity is actually scarier than the virus itself. We have people on both sides of the political aisle just screaming about anything. People trying to push their own agendas. You can literally tell that some people, I think they're kind of cheering for the virus. It's a really, really weird situation. And you know, that stuff might be the real thing to be afraid of. That stuff is way more scary to me than the virus itself. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, maybe tell us how you are doing right now in quarantine. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. You know I told you last week, but I know a lot of you out there are on like a quarantine of some kind. If you're bored, please drop us a line. Send in whatever you have. Sometimes, like I told you, it just helps to reach out. Maybe you have a question to ask. Maybe you have a thought that you kind of want to get out there. Whatever you have, bring it. Maybe you have some feedback for the show. Maybe you have a suggestion. I don't know. Maybe you need the Daily Dose to break up with someone for you. We'll be glad to take care of whatever you need. Maybe you need a little advice. Maybe you have a sports question you'd just like us to tackle. Reach out to us. We would love to hear from you, especially in these weird times. Also, as long as you're out there doing that online shopping, because we know we're not supposed to really be going anywhere, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some Daily Dose gear. We have our Daily Dose iTeam shirts over there. We have our Daily Dose standard logo shirts over there. We have our Daily Dose faster than domestic violence gear over there. You can get t-shirts, you can get sweatshirts, hoodies, laptop covers, coffee mugs, a number of items over at tpublic.com. Just go to tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and scroll down until you see our logo. Click on that, and you're going to find a number of items that you can shop for and get that Daily Dose gear that you need in your life. Hey, today on the show, we are going to be taking a look at a few of the top news stories that have come out over the past week in the world of sports. We do have a couple of things to discuss there. And then remember that this was supposed to be the upcoming weekend of the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, we don't have that. Remember, next Monday was supposed to be Championship Monday. Obviously, we don't have that happening, but we do have some March Madness brackets for you today on the Dose to fill out. We're going to be getting to those in a few minutes. And then we do also have a March Madness flavored Daily Dose Top 5 for you as well. So we've got a number of things to get to today. Also, remember, we are now placing a video portion of the podcast over on YouTube. So make sure that you head over there, search for Daily Dose, and subscribe to the Daily Dose YouTube channel over there. Hey, thanks to everyone who went over and watched last week. We are going to be putting up a new video of the podcast every week. Make sure you stop by and check that out. We're going to kind of change things up and put different segments on there each week, so you never know what's going to be there. But make sure that you stop by YouTube and subscribe to the Daily Dose over there as well. Let's go ahead and jump in right now. Of course, Major League Baseball missed opening day last week, but Commissioner Rob Manfred said last week that nothing is off the table as they plan their return. Here is a quote from Manfred. "The one thing I know for sure is baseball will be back. Whenever it's safe to play, we'll be back. We will be part of the recovery, the healing in this country." Manfred says that Major League Baseball is hoping optimistically to get the process of the season started as soon as May, and that they will discuss all options to get in as many games as possible in a shortened season. Now, Major League Baseball is discussing maybe even doing things like playing 7-inning doubleheaders, you know, like they use in the minors and even collegiately, or playing games in like warm weather neutral sites so they could avoid the weather. Manfred basically said that they will look at every single option available for speeding up games, well, short of actually making pitchers and batters adhere to the pitch clock rule that is already on the books. That, he said, will never be followed. If a batter wants to step out of the box and take off his entire uniform before putting it back on between pitches, hey, that's his prerogative. Who is baseball to tell any player that they can't do that? Moving over to MMA, UFC fighter John Jones was arrested last week on 4 different charges, including aggravated DWI and negligent use of a firearm. Jones was booked and released by the Albuquerque Police Department when asked what he was doing out during a time when New Mexico is also under a stay-at-home order due to, you know, the whole pandemic thing. Jones said he was going stir crazy at home and he wanted to go for a drive. He added that he was talking to homeless people who were just on the side of the road. He said, "I got stir crazy. I got pulled over just for being nice to the homeless people. I literally just got stir crazy. I just wanted to have a drive. This is my first drive in 2 weeks. And I saw these homeless guys. I was being nice to them, having conversation with them, treating them like humans." Now, here's the problem. One, they found Jones across the street from a strip club. Maybe that's just a coincidence. Also, Jones tested at or above twice the legal limit when he was administered a breathalyzer after he was arrested. That's what the criminal complaint said. Upon search of his vehicle, a handgun was found under his driver's seat along with a spent round outside the driver's side door.
What?
Wait, so John Jones was just driving around shooting. The complaint stated that the round matched the caliber of the gun that he had. Ugh. Why do bad things keep happening to good people? This would be Jones' second DWI. Remember that? He was charged with the crime back in 2012 in his home state of New York. In 2015, Jones was convicted on a felony hit and run charge. He was on probation until 2018. He also pleaded no contest to disorderly conduct last October after initially being charged with battery last July for slapping a strip club cocktail waitress in the genital region and pulling her down into his lap and kissing her neck. Now, when asked if this latest arrest could affect Jones' ability to continue to fight on a UFC card, UFC president Dana White could not be reached for comment. His office actually told us here at the Daily Dose that Dana White was literally busy burying his head in the sand at the time of our call. So it's going to be tough to get Dana White to commit to too much. Moving over to the NBA, New York Knicks owner James Dolan reportedly has tested positive for that COVID-19 virus. Yeah, it's not good news. Kind of scary. Now, they say he has no symptoms whatsoever. They say he's doing just fine. He didn't even know he had it. But upon hearing the news, Knicks fans actually responded really, really well organized and completely in unison.
I hope you die.
Now, that's not nice at all. That's mean. Knicks fans, a lot of times, like, you kind of deserve what you get because you guys aren't very nice all the time. Now, because I'm a glass full kind of guy, like, I'm always going to look at the glass as being half full. I just kind of dwell on the positive. I should note that this is the first time the Knicks have been in the news for anything positive in decades. I don't know if that helps Knicks fans, but I mean, it is actually true. The SEC is going to allow virtual instruction for their college football programs. That actually began this week. The SEC presidents and chancellors had initially voted to suspend all athletic activities, including practices, meetings, any other activities, at least through April 15th. But since then, they have reconsidered. These updated guidelines will now allow 2 hours of virtual instruction or meetings per week, including some kind of film review. The idea is that they would allow coaches to continue to engage with players who are not currently on campus for spring practices. So you can at least kind of get these guys up to speed, at least kind of get your kids learning your system and kind of learning what your program is about, even though they're not there. It's probably a good idea. Now, upon hearing this, the Pac-12 announced that they would also be doing some things to change the way their players are training. They say they're going to allow their teams to start playing some Atari 2600 football to get them up to speed as well. Hey, you know, what can I say?
Modern problems require modern solutions.
Moving over to the NFL, it seems that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers used a slogan when they announced the signing of Tom Brady as their new quarterback back on March 20th, they used the slogan TBXTB. I don't know. That doesn't seem like that great of a slogan, but apparently Brady liked it so much that he had his agents file a trademark application with the United States Patent and Trademark Office the very same day. The application stated that the intended trademark's use would be for like clothing, t-shirts, pants, shorts, sweatshirts, sweaters, jerseys, sleepwear, athletic tops, whatever. Now, Lord knows Tom Brady really needs to find a way to make a buck. Like, I think he's doing, you know, just fine. You might also remember that Touchdown Tommy had previously filed a trademark request for the phrase Tom Terrific last June, but he was actually denied because the USPTO stated Tom Terrific is already attributed to longtime Mets pitcher Tom Seaver. Now, we'll see if Tom finally gets a break in life and actually gets this patent approved. I don't know why he is so set on getting some weird trademark, but apparently he really liked TBXTB. I don't even know exactly what that even means, but I mean, whatever. Now, here's the interesting thing. Not to be outdone, upon hearing the news that Brady had filed for another patent, Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James also filed again with the patent office too. You might remember LeBron's attempt to trademark the phrase Taco Tuesday last year was denied because it's such a common term. But LeBron says he has a couple of new ideas this time. What's he got this time? He says he is filing for Throwback Thursday and Fajita Friday.
He ain't very original, is he?
Yeah. Good luck to both Tom Brady and LeBron in their latest endeavors. Finally, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the 2020 NFL draft will continue as scheduled from April 23rd to April 25th.
Yeah!
Hey, yeah, I like it. I'm happy about that. Despite the current environment in our country, he says they're going forward. In his memo, Goodell served warning to those around the league who might criticize the league's stance. Here is what Goodell had to say. Public discussion of issues relating to the draft serves no useful purpose. It is grounds for disciplinary action. Sounds like he's not messing around. Goodell said the NFL Management Council Executive Committee met last week and was unanimous and unequivocal that the draft should go forward as scheduled. Goodell acknowledged there would have to be significant changes, and he told teams to prepare to conduct the draft from outside team facilities and with a limited number of people. They say prospects and their families will not be present on site at the draft. But I mean, people, this is just where we're at right now in this country and in the world, I guess. The NFL draft can go on virtually without anyone having any unnecessary contact with anyone else. And I mean, wouldn't it kind of be nice just to give us all a feeling of like some normalcy? I know that there are people out there that are whining about it and they're saying, well, this is going to look bad when we're trying to get back to our normal lives. How dare you do something safely in these uncertain times? I mean, hey, I'm all for the NFL draft taking place. I can't wait for it. I was thrilled when I heard this news, and I'll tell you why. I told you, I'm like almost done with Netflix. I'm on like the 7th season of Barney the Dinosaur, and I'm on like the final season of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo on Netflix. People, we are officially like out of things to watch. Can we please have something new? I mean, the NFL even took it one step further yesterday. Yesterday, they came out and said they are planning on their season starting on time with fans in the stands. And they also approved that whole expansion of the postseason this upcoming year to 14 teams too. Hey, but like I said, I'm all for the NFL plowing ahead. Come on, we need some light at the end of this weird tunnel, don't we? And by the way, I've got to throw this out there. How pathetic are we in this country? Like, our grandparents or whatever, they like had to storm the beaches at Normandy. Here we are struggling because we have to stay indoors and watch TV all day. Aww. Those are almost the same thing, huh? Yeah, I'm okay with the draft going on. I understand the NFL will get some criticism. Goodell is going to get some criticism because he always does. I'm okay with the draft going forward, though. I think it actually might be a good thing for all of us. Okay, coming back. Yes, March Madness has been canceled this year, and it makes me insanely sad. But when we come back, we are going to be releasing the Daily Dose March Sadness Brackets, and you, at home, can do your best to pick the winner. I'm telling you right now, get ready for some upsets. Get ready for some buzzer beaters. March Sadness is actually going to be a lot of fun. So this week, we should be talking about the NCAA tournament. We should be breaking down what happened in the first two rounds. We should be looking at what just happened in the Sweet 16 and then the Elite Eight. Those are such fun rounds in college basketball. I absolutely love, like, the initial rounds are so fun because it's all new and there's so many games. But then the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, you're starting to narrow down some of the teams maybe that probably shouldn't have been there. As fun as they are, you kind of weed out some of those teams, and then you are just getting highly competitive games that are so crazy that are going down to the wire. And we should be doing all of that right now. But obviously, with the state of the world today, we have nothing to talk about in that regard. And I have seen a number of sports media outlets releasing some brackets of their own. I've seen some brackets trying to predict what would have happened this year. But, you know, as we all know, that is what makes March Madness so great, is that the fact it's completely unpredictable. Every single year, the experts say, hey, here's an upset that is going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. Every single year, we hear the experts say, this upset will never happen. This team has no chance in this game. And then that's exactly the upset that does take place. So trying to predict what might have happened this year, like as tempting as it is for me here, it doesn't really mean that much to me. It's kind of pointless to me. I don't want to do that. Now, here's another bracket that I've seen. Did you see the ESPN bracket for best college basketball player of all time? It is literally one of the dumbest brackets I have ever seen in my life. If I were employed by ESPN, I'm telling you right now, I'm not even joking, I would be mortified by that bracket. It is so poorly thought out and so poorly executed that you will actually get dumber if you are watching it. And I mean, to be fair, it's not all ESPN's fault. They're allowing like fans to vote on the matchups, but you can clearly see the bracket that they made, it has no sense of history. It has no common sense whatsoever. For one, female players are in the bracket, which honestly is kind of disrespectful to both genders. I mean, they shouldn't be in the men's bracket. And also, They deserve their own bracket. So that's completely idiotic. But you can tell that they are rating players in this greatest college basketball player of all time, you know, bracket thing. They're rating players based off of their professional careers, not based off of what they did in college at all, which doesn't make any sense because you're trying to rate the best college basketball players of all time. Get this. Jerry West, who led West Virginia to the Final Four, was one of the greatest college basketball players ever. ESPN had him as a 13 seed. A 13 seed? One of the best players in history. A 13 seed. Also, Pete Maravich was a 13 seed. Bobby Hurley was an 8 seed. Did you watch Bobby Hurley's career? I mean, I realize, you know, he's a little white guard or whatever. You do know, like, he went to the Final Four every single year he was in school, right? Danny Manning was an 8 seed. Did anyone see what he did back in 1988? Hey, what Danny Manning did at Kansas in 88, that might be one of the greatest seasons in the history of college basketball. Meanwhile, Zion Williamson, who never led his team past the Elite Eight, he was like an 8 or a 9 seed. How does he even belong in the tournament? Hey, I love me some Zion. I've told you that before. But come on. Zion didn't do anything in the college ranks. I mean, he barely got his team through the tournament. Remember, they almost got knocked out by, who was it, like Central Florida? Duke didn't do anything that year. I love Zion, but he has no place in a bracket containing the best college basketball players ever. He didn't do anything. And also, Michael Jordan, he's probably going to be voted the top college basketball player ever in this bracket. Kids, if you have listened to The Dose for very long, you know I love Mike. Hey, I've got a picture on my desk right here of Michael Jordan. I think he is possibly the greatest basketball player of all time. But understand this. Back in college, Mike wasn't even the best player on his own North Carolina team. Go back and watch those games. He deferred to James Worthy, who was a grown man at the time. Hey, they can make this silly bracket and they can put through their silly teams. They had Shaquille O'Neal advancing far in the bracket. Shaq never did anything in college basketball. I understand he's an amazing talent. Are you just saying who would have won in like a one-on-one game? That's not college basketball. College basketball isn't played one-on-one. That's not how you play the game. So it's completely idiotic. Say whatever you want. Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he is the greatest college basketball player of all time. Understand this. Lou Alcindor, when he was at UCLA, he won 3 titles because he wasn't allowed to win 4 titles since freshmen couldn't play when he was there. But get this, his freshman team beat the varsity every day in practice, and that varsity won the national championship. So I think you can make a pretty good case that Lou Alcindor would have won 4 titles had he been allowed to play for 4 titles. Hey, he's the greatest college basketball player in history. He might be the greatest basketball player in history. You can make a case for Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Hey, they had to change the rules for the man. He might be pretty high on the list. And somehow, these bozos have like Shaquille O'Neal beating him out. And it's nonsense. Like Allen Iverson going way too far. I love AI. He didn't really do that much at Georgetown. ESPN should be absolutely embarrassed by that bracket. So I didn't want to go down that route either and try to, you know, one up ESPN, although it wouldn't be hard. That was pretty painful. To just look at their bracket. I think it's still finishing up. It's supposed to finish up this week or something. I'm telling you right now, you can watch it if you want. Don't be surprised if you actually notice your sports IQ dropping. Look, we're all feeling sad right now. We just are. There are no sports. There's nothing to do. We're all kind of bored and we're just wishing we had something to watch. But I thought it might be a little more appropriate to do a single elimination 16-team bracket of things in sports that make us sad. Now, I'm not talking about a depressing bracket. I'm not saying that. You'll have to trust me on this. But right now, we are going to reveal our 2020 Daily Dose March Sadness Brackets. Feel free if you'd like to write them down and play along as we make our way through our brackets. But let's get started with March Sadness. Our overall number one seed in our 2020 March Sadness Tournament is going to be the Houston Astros cheating scandal. Hey, the Astros, of course, were caught stealing opposing pitcher signs and then using that information to crank baseballs out of the park like they were playing back in the steroid era. The saddest part about this whole thing was that when they came out and like kind of owned up to what they did, but they kind of said they didn't do anything, they basically said they did nothing wrong. And at the same time, they fired both their manager and their general manager. So if you did nothing, then why did they have to lose their jobs? Hey, the Astros are a number one seed and they come into our tournament strong. They will be squaring off against another sad storyline in the world of sports. And that is going to be the National Hockey League regular season, which comes in on the number 16 line. Look, I love playoff hockey. I will tune in to playoff hockey, but the regular season, it's so long. I find it hard to watch it closely just every single night, all year long. It's just too many games. And I think, like a lot of people I know, like hockey honks are going to be like, hey, you just don't understand hockey. You just don't understand how hockey is. You're right. And you know what else? Nobody else does either, because the television ratings will back me on this. NHL regular season hockey, there's not that many people watching it. Like, someone's probably watching the Food Network before they're watching that. So who comes out ahead in our 1 versus 16 matchup? Hey, there's not going to be a Cinderella story here in this matchup, folks. The Houston Astros blow out the NHL regular season. Yes, the hockey season doesn't really get all that interesting until the playoffs begin. But the Astros cheating scandal, it could somehow like generate some interest in baseball for all the wrong reasons. And what is going to be interesting to see is if we find out other teams were cheating too. I'm kind of keeping an eye on that. And based on that, the Astros are moving ahead in our March Sadness bracket. They go to the Elite Eight. We move on to our next March Sadness matchup. And we move on to one of those tricky 8 versus 9 games. Those are always kind of tough to predict. Our number 8 seed comes in after a rough season that saw a lot of bumps and stumbles. Yes, I am referring to the number 8 seed, the new NFL pass interference rules that came out last season. Hey, the NFL had that problem in their NFC Championship game back in 2018. So what did they do? They completely overreacted to it. They instituted new rules that you could use instant replay to review questionable pass interference calls. Okay, I mean, I guess that sounds easy enough. Except that the referees just reviewed the calls and then did whatever they wanted. Mostly they just stuck to their original bad calls. The NFL pass interference rules were a complete farce and they come in as our number 8 seed, but they're going to have their hands full with our number 9 seed, because boxing judges come in on the number 9 line. And hey, we know from history, boxing judges screw up most every single thing that they touch. Who could forget the joke of a split decision that boxing judges gave Timothy Bradley over Manny Pacquiao in 2012. Yeah, aside from the fact that Pacquiao had completely dominated that fight wasn't even close, they gave the decision to Bradley. Or what about when boxing judges gave Julio Cesar Chavez that draw against Pernell Whitaker? That ruling was so bad that Chavez fans were booing the judge's decision. What about the boxing judges at the Olympics that gave us Park Si-hoon a win over Roy Jones Jr.? And then later, they admitted that they just blatantly cheated. Even recently, we saw boxing judges give Canelo Alvarez 2 decisions against Gennady Golovkin. Hey, those were iffy at best. Boxing judges come roaring into this tournament on the number 9 line. And hey, this is a tough pick, 8 versus 9. The young upstart NFL interference rules against the veteran history of boxing judges. Hey, pass interference opens up a big lead early, but you know, boxing judges have a run in them. This goes to overtime. And the key, I think, is that the NFL might rethink their silly rule. The experience of those boxing judges, it just comes through under pressure. They move forward in our bracket. I'm calling it right now. Boxing judges, they are going to be dangerous going forward, because they make us sad all the time. And that is the name of the game in March Sadness. We move on to the 4 versus 13 line. And we have another interesting game here, because coming in at the number 4 seed, we have the walking disaster that is the NFL player. Well, former NFL player, Antonio Brown. Hey, Antonio Brown had it made. He was one of the top players. He was one of the most dangerous receivers in the league. And then I don't know if it was head injuries or him surrounding himself with bad people, or if he just started believing his own hype. I don't know what's going on, but Antonio Brown has completely cracked up. First, he signs with the Raiders. Then he melted his feet off. Then he wouldn't wear a legal helmet. Then he got into a dispute with the Raiders general manager. Then they cut him. Then he signed with the Patriots. He played one really, really good game. But then he had numerous sexual and personal misconduct accusations against him, so the Patriots cut him. Now, Antonio Brown is like in NFL limbo. His agent dropped him. Now I think he's just hoping to ever play again. And at the same time, I don't even know if he knows he's not playing right now. Antonio Brown is a mess, and he is our number 4 seed. He will face the number 13 seed. And that is the sadness. That is the constant traveling violations of Houston Rockets guard James Harden. The NBA, they're just allowing James Harden to be completely unguardable because they're giving him like 4 or 5 steps when 2 steps is the legal limit. Like, I was an official for a while. Pretty positive it's just 2 steps. Hey, don't get me wrong. Harden is a great player. So why do you have to give him more advantages? There are now people saying, hey, Harden might be the greatest offensive player ever. Okay, but what if he actually had to play within the rules of the game? Great player? Yes. Best ever? Not until he's actually held to just 2 steps. Other than that, the game is kind of, you know, cheating a little bit for him. Now, this game looks like it could be close early on. Harden is doing his Eurostep, hop, jump, taking like 14 steps, and then the refs are calling a foul on top of that. But hey, Antonio Brown, right now, dude is just strong. He's farting in his doctor's face. He's ranting about it on Twitter. Our number 4 seed, Antonio Brown, moves on to the next round in a blowout. Hey, Antonio Brown is going to be a seed to keep an eye on down the stretch. We get to one of those matchups that we see every year. You just know. Sometimes the NCAA committee, they tell us that all these pairings are just random. But I mean, come on. We see like a former coach facing his old team. You're telling me that's just a coincidence? Give me a break. I'm not buying it. And so here we are with our crazy number 5 versus number 12 matchup. And you know we see upsets here every year. That 5 versus 12, that's one you always have to kind of keep an eye on. And we have a good opportunity for an upset here because coming in here on the number 5 line is the NFL commissioner, one Patriot hater, Roger Goodell. And he will be facing off against the number 12 seed, NBA commissioner Adam Silver. Yes, the alien himself, who is super popular with his players. Hey, folks, this one has it all. NFL versus NBA. Ginger versus bald. Pompous jerk versus, well, kind of pompous jerk. This could be a battle. So who wins our 5-12 matchup? Roger Goodell seems like the obvious choice here. Everyone hates him. He's hated by most all players. He's hated by fans. He's booed every time he's in public. He hands out judgments that make no sense whatsoever. Like, Roger Goodell is like the man. You know how you were like, as a kid, you were always like, oh, that guy's just the man. Roger Goodell is like the man. The man we all hate. The boss that is watching you over your shoulder. Hey, Roger Goodell is going to be tough to beat here. And who's he facing? That little loser wimp that lets his NBA players do whatever they want? Come on. Adam Silver's a pushover. We all like him. Remember what he did with Clippers owner Donald Sterling? He booted him out of the league for being a blatant racist. Yeah, like that wasn't the obvious choice and the absolute best thing for Adam Silver's business. But Silver, he's also letting his players completely run the league. And while that might sound like a good thing, forfeiting the competitiveness of this league in favor of things like all-star teams and referees that resemble like pro wrestling referees more than like true NBA officials, that might not be the best thing. Plus, Roger Goodell just told us that the NFL draft is going to continue as planned, which makes right now Roger Goodell a little bit less sad compared to the NBA, which we all know is in China's back pocket. Yes, folks, it happened again. The 12 seed pulls off the upset. Adam Silver slips into the Elite Eight. Now, we move over to the other side of the bracket. If you're scoring at home or alone, we are now moving to that other side of the bracket. We have our number 2 seed, and they are a threat to win it all. Because coming in on the number 2 line are youth sports parents. And I'm telling you right now, they are a collection of sadness that goes back as long as sports themselves. Do you know how many parents have cursed me out in my time coaching? Do you know how many parents told me that their son or daughter was going to eventually be playing professionally and that I just didn't have the foresight to understand how good their kid really was? Yeah, how'd that work out? Now, back when I was refereeing, I actually had a parent that wanted to fight me because I dared kick his son out of the game after I rang him up for an obvious foul, and then the kid tried to throw an elbow at me. So I ejected him, and the parent wanted to fight me after the game. Hey, sports parents are completely illogical, and more times than not, they ruin the entire experience for the kids. Now, this should be a walk in the park for our number two seed, but I'm telling you right now, they are going to struggle a little bit because we have one of those Cinderella sleepers on the 15 line. Yes, I am talking about flopping in any sport. The dropping to the ground when an opponent brushes your jersey flies in the face of everything that we've been taught to do in sports. We have been taught since we were little kids, stand strong, be tough, never let your opponent see weakness. And yet, we have some of the biggest, strongest athletes in the world resorting to this practice of falling down when they're just lightly grazed. It is literally changing the integrity of the game. Flopping is bringing a ton of sadness to sports. Hey, it makes the referees' jobs that much harder. Flopping should be banned at every single level of sports. If you do it, it should be a violation immediately. We have to weed out flopping. Hey, this is one of those games that experts expected to be a blowout, but it's coming down to the wire. So who wins our surprising 2 versus 15 matchup? In the end, sports parents, they're just more sad and pathetic because they're directly poisoning our kids and ruining sports for the kids. But I'm telling you right now, this 2-15 matchup did go to the wire. We have another interesting matchup in our March Sadness bracket next, because here on our number 7 line, we have the factory of sadness that is the Cleveland Browns franchise. Yes, the logoless team that has never been to a Super Bowl in nearly 60 seasons. In fact, the poor Browns were even moved to Baltimore back in 1995. They were rebranded the Baltimore Ravens, and then they won a Super Bowl, but not the Browns. And this past year, the Browns were being predicted to maybe be a Super Bowl contender. So, of course, what did they do? They went out and had a 6-10 season and looked like they're still a complete mess. The Browns actually might be underrated here. 7 might be a little bit too low. They're a 7, but the Browns could win this whole thing. They will be facing the number 10 seed, the Oklahoma Sooners football team, in the college football playoff. Yes, the Sooners are a perennial contender, and they have a rich history of success. And yet, in the 6 seasons that we have been doing the college football playoff, Oklahoma has made it 4 times. And in those games, Oklahoma is 0-4. And it hasn't been pretty. They are allowing 50 points per game when they get into the college football playoff. Ouch. Who says the Big 12 doesn't play defense? Oh yeah, everyone. Okay, we know that 10 seeds can be dangerous in the NCAA tournament. But hey, the Sooners have no chance against the Brownies. Once again, this is history speaking. The Browns are historically bad. The Sooners have just had a bad streak. Browns win this one going away. We have 2 more games remaining in the first round of our March Sadness bracket. And next up is the number 3 seed that could win it all. And that is dinner with new Iona head basketball coach Rick Pitino. Oh, I know. It's tough to think about. You don't want to have dinner with Rick. It doesn't seem to end well. You can Google that story if you need to. You might not like what you find. Let's just say it's an early night when you have dinner with Rick. Now, Pitino will be facing another Cinderella type because he will be going up against the final laps of a NASCAR race. You know, when like in NASCAR, they stretch it out and they have like as many restarts as possible, try to milk those last 2 or 3 laps for like 30 minutes. Come on, NASCAR. Stop trying to be the NBA. We know you're just trying to manufacture more crashes. You need to stop it. The NASCAR final laps are the 14 seed. But hey, NASCAR can keep this close for a while, but Rick Pitino can't contain himself. He is always getting in trouble. Dinner with Rick Pitino, our 3 seed, moves on to the Elite Eight, the final game of our 16-team bracket of March Sadness. And we have another one of those matchups that you just know the committee loves to create because these are 2 rivals. And the committee loves to pair up rivals when they get the chance. Remember when they put Wichita State in the same bracket as Kansas? Wichita State should have been a much higher seed. They didn't belong there. But the committee likes to manufacture these things. These things happen. And they do right here again, as our number 6 seed faces our number 11 seed. Coming in at the 6 seed, a slight favorite, is the hairline of one LeBron James. Aww. Yes, we know that his hair was like fading back to the back of his head. Remember he was wearing that bonnet every single night in competition to try to hide it? LeBron's hair will be facing a very capable challenger in our number 11 seed. Yes, our number 11 seed, the hairline of Kevin Wayne Durant. Aww. Yes, because KD's hair is also starting to look like the eye of a hurricane is forming on the back of his scalp. Hey, these are two future Hall of Famers that are clinging desperately to some scraps. Who will come out on top and move on? We could have an upset brewing. Because while LeBron's hair is one of the saddest things we've ever seen in sports, he is like gotten some plugs or doing some work. Durant is growing bigger by the second. There is electricity in the arena, folks. But remember that episode we saw earlier this year? Remember with the Lakers, when Anthony Davis was like telling LeBron that, I don't know, like his hair was coming off or something? Meanwhile, as far as Durant's hairline, KD doesn't even seem to care. LeBron's hairline is a little bit sadder of these two. And therefore, the number 6 seed moves forward to the Elite Eight. Okay, coming back, we are now down to the Elite Eight, but we still need to find our champion of our March Sadness bracket. Plus, we also need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Staying in the theme of sadness, we are going to be taking a look at some of the more disappointing moments in March Madness history. So let's finish up our 2020 March Sadness bracket, and we move on to the Elite Eight, where we have our number one seed, the Houston Astros cheating scandal, facing dirty boxing judges. That's going to be a close one. I'm going to give the nod to baseball right now just because boxing, it's just not popular enough. There just aren't enough people that pay attention to it that much. So I'm going to give the Astros cheating scandal a slight nod. The Astros cheating go on to the Final Four. Now, we have our number 4 seed, Antonio Brown, facing the Cinderella number 12 NBA commissioner, Adam Silver. Hey, Silver hits a few threes, but Antonio Brown is strong in this tournament. Keep an eye on him. AB is going to the Final Four. Over on the other side of the bracket, we have the number 2 seed, Youth Sports Parents, squaring off against the number 7 Cleveland Browns. This one could go down to the wire, but the Browns, they haven't had many, but they've had a few positive moments in sports. Hey, Youth Sports Parents, they're going to be tough to beat. Youth Sports Parents, our number 2 seed, punch their ticket to the Final Four. We move on to our final round of the Elite Eight. Number 3, dinner with Rick Pitino versus number 6, LeBron James hairline. Hey, Rick Pitino blows out LeBron for sadness. And Slick Rick, I mean, this dude was out of basketball. Dude is in the finals. I just have one concern for Rick Pitino. I hope he didn't peak too soon. Now, we get to the Final Four, where we see the top-seeded Houston Astros cheating scandal facing Antonio Brown. And I'm telling you right now, the top seed is in a little bit of trouble. Yes, their cheating scandal is pathetic. But here's the thing. It's baseball. No one really cares all that much. Antonio Brown is on to the finals. Meanwhile, Youth Sports Parents are facing dinner with Rick Pitino. But I mean, hey, Pitino doesn't have the kind of stamina to stay late with the parents. The parents surge past Pitino. Our 2020 March Sadness bracket culminates in a very evenly matched game of Antonio Brown versus Youth Sports Parents, a number 4 seed versus a number 2 seed. Hey, this final game can go either way, but as usual, experience pays off. We reach our 2020 Daily Dose NCAA March Sadness Championship winner, Youth Sports Parents. Hey, don't be those parents, Daily Dose listeners. Don't be them. They are this year's saddest thing in sports. Hey, they're going to be a contender every year. That's a program that has been built from the ground up. You've got to like them to compete every single year in a tournament like this. Youth Sports Parents get the win. Well, sort of. And you know they'd be crying about how over this went. Now, as we do every week, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Yes, We have been talking about March sadness today, as we have no sports to watch and no March madness to watch. But here's the thing. Even in years that we do have tournaments, great tournaments, some of the best games ever, we have still had some sadness. There is heartbreak as we see careers end. We see mistakes made. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 memorable sad moments of the NCAA championship game. And I'm telling you right now, I'll bet you're going to remember most all of these. Let's start off at number 5. And we go back to 2008. And the Memphis Tigers were finally going to do it. They were finally going to win a title. They had been close back in 85. They had been tough. But now, this was going to happen. Derrick Rose had led the Memphis Tigers to a 9-point lead over the Kansas Jayhawks with just 2 minutes remaining. Hey, just be smart. Take care of the ball. You're going to win this thing. Oh, and one more thing. Be sure to make your free throws. Now, Memphis head coach John Calipari, he had said all year that despite shooting just 59% from the line all season, his team would come through in the clutch when they had to. There was just one problem. They didn't. In the final minute of this game, Memphis made just 1 of 5 free throws. And Kansas somehow got the game to overtime. They outlasted Memphis, and Kansas instead won the title. But watching those poor Memphis kids walking to the line with the game on the line and clanking shot after shot after shot, I'm telling you right now, it was one of the saddest moments in March Madness history. They just couldn't make a free throw. And if they had just made even one, they would have been the champs. They couldn't do it. And they come in at number 5. We go back to 1989 for our number 4 entry. And we get to one of the most competitive games in championship history. See, after firing their head coach, Bill Frieder, the Michigan Wolverines had replaced him with Steve Fisher, and they had been finding ways to win under Fisher. In the championship game, they faced the Seton Hall Pirates. Now, both these teams were number 3 seeds. And in that 89 championship game, we got quite the show. The game was back and forth all night. Seton Hall actually took a 3-point lead with just over a minute to play in overtime. Michigan cut it to 1. And with 10 seconds left, Seton Hall's Johnny Morton missed a shot that could have put the Pirates up by 3. Instead, Michigan grabs the rebound, and as point guard Ramil Robinson dribbles up the floor trying to find a shot, well, this happened. Here is a clip from CBS.
Michigan's ball. They've got an opportunity here now to win it. They've got to hurry. 5 seconds. Robinson goes in. Foul call with 3 seconds. A foul against Seton Hall with 3 seconds.
Yes, the ref called a bump that just didn't really affect the play at all. There was no advantage gained. Ramil Robinson, who was not a great free throw shooter, knocks down 2 clutch free throws, and Michigan escapes with the win. Hey, I give Michigan credit for finding a way to win, but it was also kind of sad to see such a great game end on a ref's call that didn't have to be called. Like, let's see if the kids can get a shot up. Let them decide it. The 1989 National Championship game comes in on our list at number 4. We move up to number 3. And we have proof that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, because there is a sect of college basketball fans that will say, hey, this was a wonderful win for our team. But I'm telling you right now, most of the rest of the planet was cheering for it to go the other way. Back in 2010, the Duke Blue Devils were again one of the top teams, so it was no surprise when they went to the championship game. What was a surprise was when they faced the Cinderella team, the Butler Bulldogs, who did not back down all night. Duke led by just a point at halftime, and the game would come down to the final buzzer. With just over 3 seconds left, Duke up 1. Duke big man Brian Zubek was fouled. He made the first shot, made it a 2-point game. Then he intentionally missed the second shot because Butler didn't have any timeouts left. Butler grabs the rebound, and Gordon Hayward rushes up the court and launches a shot from half court. If it goes in, Butler is going to win this game. Here is a clip of that sad moment from CBS.
So they would hope that Zubek makes this.
Not going to try. It's Hayward pulling it down. Getting around Zubek. At midcourt, launches the shot. Oh, it almost went in! Almost went in, and Duke is the king of the dance, 2010.
Can you imagine if it had gone in? Butler, the team that plays its home games in the arena where Hoosiers filmed their championship game, Butler would have been the national champions. Hey, that shot almost went in. Now, I know Duke fans are like, oh, that's a great win. Everyone else was like, oh, can you imagine if Butler had pulled off the ultimate upset? It was a moment of sadness when Hayward's shot rolled off the front of that rim. And Butler's shot not going in comes in at number three. We move on to number two. And for number two, we go back to 1982, where the North Carolina Tar Heels were facing the Georgetown Hoyas in one of the classic championship games of all time. Patrick Ewing and Eric Sleepy Floyd had led Georgetown to a one-point lead with just over 15 seconds to play when a freshman by the name of Michael Jordan knocks down a shot from the wing and gives North Carolina the lead, but there was still time to play. Georgetown point guard Fred Brown pushes the ball up the floor. He's looking to get the ball into a scoring position, and he picks up his dribble and starts to make a pass, but North Carolina forward James Worthy jumps up into the passing lane to take that angle away. So Brown pulls the ball back down. He's looking for an open teammate. He's kind of struggling, like you can tell. He's kind of getting nervous. And then he sees something out of the corner of his eye next to him. So he passes the ball back out toward half court. The only problem was it wasn't to a teammate. It was to Worthy, who had just stayed up there. Surprised, Worthy grabs the ball and takes off with it. And the North Carolina Tar Heels beat the Georgetown Hoyas. And hey, you had to feel bad for Fred Brown. It was just, he saw something there. He assumed it was a teammate. It was just a mistake in a really, really tight moment. It was no doubt a really, really sad moment in NCAA history. But here's some good news. On the positive side, the Hoyas and Fred Brown, they would return the next year to the title game and they would win it. So good news for Fred Brown. It didn't end there, but it definitely was a sad moment in the NCAA championship game. And it comes in at number two. So we move on to the number one memorable sad moment in the NCAA championship game. And we go back to 1993, where the North Carolina Tar Heels were once again in the championship game. But this time, they would be facing the young, brash, cocky, upstart Fab Five from the University of Michigan. Now remember, the young Wolverines had gone to the title game the previous year, but then they got manhandled by the more mature Duke Blue Devils. So here, in 93, was their chance at redemption. But it was the Tar Heels that were actually coming up with all the big plays. Donald Williams had 25 points. Eric Montross had 16 points. Down the stretch, it was North Carolina that led by three when Chris Webber scored a putback to cut the lead to just one with 37 seconds left. With 20 seconds left, Michigan fouled Carolina guard Pat Sullivan. He makes the first shot to make the lead two. Then he misses the second shot, which Chris Webber rebounded. And when he gets the rebound, he immediately travels. Okay, the refs swallow their whistles. Quite a change from back in 89, if you'll remember. And Webber dribbles the ball into the front court. But there were a few problems when he got there. First, Michigan had used their final timeout. They were out of timeouts. Second, no one from Michigan wanted the basketball. You could see all the players, all the guys that now talk and now say things. They might be on, I don't know, ESPN. They were all hiding in the corners. They wanted nothing to do with that basketball. They didn't want anything to do with that big moment. So Webber is out there by himself. Third, a few genius players from the Michigan bench are signaling for Chris Webber to call a timeout. You can hear it yourself. Here's a clip from CBS.
Long, a two to tie. Michigan will have to bring it.
Oh, he walked. He walked in, the referee missed it.
Webber brings it into the front court. They have no timeouts remaining.
Oh, he crosses too many timeouts. That's a technical foul.
He called a timeout. Michigan doesn't have any.
He got by with a walk, and Jimmy calls a technical. He calls a timeout. He doesn't realize that's Michigan's too many, and so it'll be a technical foul. North Carolina shooting and the ball.
Yes, Chris Webber calling timeout with no timeouts remaining, and the North Carolina Tar Heels upsetting those Michigan Wolverines comes in at the top of our list of saddest March Madness moments. Hey, you might be wondering, why in the world did you make the theme of our show this week, March Sadness? Aren't we all sad enough right now? Well, one, we did try to keep it a little bit light. But the thing I want to point out, at the time these things happened, they were horrible. They were terrible. No one's ever going to recover from this. Now, they're just another memory for March Madness. This year, 2020, this tops the list for me as far as saddest moments. But just remember, we will move on. We will get back to having fun. We will get back to enjoying sports once again. It will be coming. You can tell we do move on from moments like this. Hey, next week on The Dose, we will be doing our best to keep you entertained by talking sports as only we can. Hey, we talked about some great games in history in March Madness today. Might have to talk about some other sports a little bit next week. We'll see. Hey, stay positive, kids. Like I said before, this is going to pass. We will move forward. Stay healthy. Get in a workout. Get some sunshine. Do some reading. And more importantly, just be nice to people. Things are going to get better. Hey, don't forget to go over to YouTube. Subscribe to our Daily Dose channel. Look for our logo. I will leave links again everywhere so that you can find the correct link. Make sure you stop by and like our YouTube channel, though. We would appreciate that. Hey, thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for downloading the show, leaving us a positive review. Thank you for subscribing to that YouTube channel, giving us a positive rating there. We appreciate that. But most of all, thank you so much for sharing the show with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Hey, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great week, everybody. I will see you all next Wednesday.
Modern problems require modern solutions.